When right understanding arises, it's like that. Understanding, the characteristic.
There's feeling the hardness of the table, but there's no understanding of non-self or impermanence.
Usually in a day, it's like that. Until there is the understanding of realities, better and better, that it can condition awareness to arise, and Panya can see that it's uncontrollable. It's already conditioned to be aware of that particular object by itself. To understand that even awareness is not self, it's conditioned to arise, to be aware of that particular object, unintentionally.
Why am I having so much problem with this? Because I still think, if I just read books and listen to Dharma talks, that's all that needs to be done.
In order to understand.
In order to gain understanding.
No. One of my questions was, you know how there's doing meditation with the idea of doing something. The same wrong understanding can be applied to reading and studying, can't it? I can go ahead and say, well, if I read this, I'll understand. But that doesn't necessarily follow on. Doesn't always happen that right understanding will arise. It almost has to be some sort of right understanding when you're actually reading.
It has to be the right considering, right reflecting, right, whether you're reading or not reading.
Yeah,
I think it comes down very much to the careful consideration and the careful consideration of reality now at this moment.
So there has to be thinking.
It's thinking, but there's wise thinking and unwise thinking. There has to be wise thinking or wise reflection in order for awareness to directly be aware. If one's never heard before that there is only seeing and visible object, there's not going to be any awareness of seeing or visible object. So there has to be the reflection on dharmas as anatta first.
But I know that this seeing, and this is a visible object, but I also know that this is an object of taste.
That's thinking. That's okay, but there can be awareness even of that. Thinking is just thinking, different from seeing, different from the visible object. So one moment there's seeing, which experiences a visible object, and immediately there are ideas of this is an object of taste and other kinds of thinking that follow.
And that's okay.
That's okay, yes. It's just normal, natural. Anything is okay.
And I think that sort of knowledge goes on right up to Arahat, but Arahat has Panya that knows the difference, whereas we don't. An Arahat would still see it.
The Arahat still knows it's something for drinking.
Right.
But there's no confusion about what is seeing, what is visible object, what is thinking.
Yeah, that's a very helpful remark. I need time to process that.
Maybe we have processing it. This is a quote from Survey. Actually, it was in Realities and Concepts, but I assume it's in Survey. If Satipatthana arises, it can distinguish visible object. It can consider it and be aware of it, so that it can be correctly known that what appears are just different colours. So just going back, if Satipatthana arises, it can distinguish visible object. It can consider it and be aware of it. Do you mean it can distinguish visible objects, plural, or it just means it can understand visible object?
We have to check.
Does it mean if Satipatthana arises, it can distinguish different visible objects, or
not necessarily?
I don't know quite what it means. It can distinguish visible object. Maybe it just means it can know or identify visible object. Okay.
As visible object.
As visible object. It can consider it and be aware of it, so that it can be correctly known that what appears are just different colours. So here
not
you're
different colour.
Different colours.
It's not necessary to know the different colour at all.
Well, here it says, by considering and being aware of visible object, it can be known that what appears are different colours.
No, not necessary.
No.
I ask only that.
Because many people ask us about this paragraph.
Right.
Should we say that by considering visible object, we can be known it is just visible object?
Just visible object.
Just yeah. visible object is mm-hmm. better, because yeah. by saying it knows that what appears are different colours, it sounds like an idea mm-hmm. about the visible
what
object.
What is it clinging to, yeah. Yeah. different colours.
Also, talking about kalapas and visible object and the rupas arising in kalapas, we know in theory at the third stage of insight there is the understanding of kalapas, but what exactly does this mean? Because only one reality ever appears. So what does it mean to understand kalapas?
At this moment, how many kalapas?
How many kalapas are arising?
Mm-hmm.
One kalapa?
At a time, or?
At a time.
Yes, but does it appear at that?
No.
Mm-hmm. So panya grows little by little.
Yes. Okay. But we talk about panya growing and understanding the conditioned nature of visible object or the impermanence of visible object, and even theoretically this makes sense, but to the understanding which understands that visible object...
The sankhara nimitta, all alone. Sankhara nimitta.
What does this have to do
from
with...
From the very beginning until panya grow.
What does that have to do with the understanding of kalapa?
When they appear, when they arise and appear with many, many kalapas.
I see. Right, when many yeah. kalapas one at a time appear or many realities appear, then one knows they have to
because
arise
there
together.
Because there are spaces in between. There are space in between. Now... Uncountable, we don't count, but
don't
they
count
appear
kalapas.
As they are.
But we always say that even for developed understanding, still only one characteristic appears yes. at a time. So
okay.
a kalapa doesn't have
yeah,
a characteristic.
One characteristic, no matter how many kalapas, like hardness, so small.
But never a characteristic of kalapa, because a kalapa is a group of...
They have people. The same characteristic. Hardness, softness, same characteristic.
They never have the characteristic of being part of a kalapa, or do they?
When they appear to panya and space in between, do you have to count?
Impossible to count.
That's all.
And also talking about space, the two kinds of space. The paricheda rupa, the space between the kalapas, and this is conditioned by one of the four causes, like the rupas are. And then there is the bigger space, which is treated as one of the asankhata dhammas. Sometimes in the texts, like the Atasalani, it seems like they're talking about both of them at the same time. Sometimes it's not clear which one is being pointed to. For example, in the Maharahulawada Sutta.
Okay. What about space here and space in between kalapas?
So the space here is the larger, wider space. Do we call it
not
a...
Kalapas.
Not a kalapas. But it's still a reality and it's still an
asankhata
dhamma.
Asankhata means
unconditioned. No condition.
No. Can the open space, can one say that it is delimited, parijati?
Parijata, when it's in between.
Only
space,
in between. Yeah. And usually we always say all dharmas apart from nibbana are sankhara. Why is this one nibbana?
Panyati and akasa and nibbana are asankhara.
But panyati, it's not a reality, and nibbana is always given. But why is space, akasa, not mentioned?
It's here.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a dhamma, but it's
a
parampara.
It's
a akasa.
So this is...
Yeah. That akasa.
Okay. Yeah. Cannot be experienced.
Cannot be touched.
Open space.
No. Because it's like water
cannot be touched. That which cannot be touched.
When it talks about space as having the characteristic of delimiting material objects, then it's always the paricheda and showing the boundaries. So it's always the one in between the kalapas.
And in the Katawatu, when it says that space is neither conditioned or unconditioned, and the commentary says it's a concept, what is that referring to?
It depends on what we are talking about, the concept of space or the reality of space.
Okay.
Space is given as one of the elements, isn't it?
Everything is, when it's real.
And when in the Abhidharma, akasa is defined as the non-concrete rupa, the anipana rupa, with no sabhava, then it's referring usually to the paricheda rupa?
Or? It depends on whether we talk about the 28, and
yes,
then it's one of the 28.
Mm. When we talk about it as one of the 28, it's usually referring to paricheda rupa, so the other one isn't included or counted at all. So when we say there are only 28 rupas, including paricheda rupa, but isn't this another rupa? Mm. It's a paramattha dharma, because
yes,
usually we say all paramattha dharmas include.
Okay, but when panya arises, what does it experience?
It can't experience us. Okay, so it's a paramattha dharma because it can never be experienced. Could it be experienced by Buddha or nothing to be experienced?
Paramattha dharma is paramattha dharma. Can it be changed from one person to another person?
No. So it's paramattha dharma, but it can never be experienced by anyone in this space.
Reality. Or just space.
Just space.
Not heart, not self.
Yes.
No one can touch it.
No. Mm-hmm. So it can't be experienced through the body sense. What about through the mind or by the Buddha?
Since it does not arise.
Okay, it doesn't, because it doesn't arise.
So getting back to our other thread, if the development of sati is not a matter of doing something, then what is the condition for it to arise?
It's real, it's a reality, it performs its function when there are conditions for its arising. Sati performs the function of being aware. It cannot perform the function of feeling. And the other reality cannot perform the function of sati either.
Right.
So it's not I can do anything.
So what will condition its arising then if it's not a matter of our willfully?
What condition citta and cetasika to arise? Because sati is a cetasika.
Well, the jittas and cetasikas that are arising now are conditioned by just the way things are. Past karma conditions are rebirth and our experiences.
Or when we think about elements, they arise by
their own conditions.
Mm-hmm.
The jitas and cetasikas that are arising now are conditioned by the fact that we're here together.
Citta condition cetasika and cetasika condition citta. They arise like the four elements, depending on each other.
Mutually dependent.
But we have done something to be here, and as a result of being here, those particular mind states are arising. We're all here learning and so on. So we have done something
to be conditions?
You facilitate those conditions arising in that way.
But can I just pick up on a point, because you said we've all done something and that's what brings us here, but do we all have the same mind states arising now? And the fact that we're here is one thing, but the mind states that are arising are something else altogether, aren't they?
Yeah.
This is another reference to space. This is an example where it seems that the two kinds of space are mixed up. In the Atasalani, it says that space is that which cannot be scratched, cut or broken. So that seems to be pointing to the larger space. It's untouched by the four great elements. It cannot be touched. And then the Atasalani gives the following definition of space. Space element has the characteristic of delimiting material objects. It's a function of showing their boundaries, the manifestation of showing their limits. So it seems to be talking about both kinds of space. So when you read it, you have to know that first it's referring to the larger space, and then it's referring to the paricheda, akasa, rupa, etc.
Could we say that aside from lama, space is where the four elements are not there? Where the four mahabhuta roots?
Before, as usual, as you understand about space.
But from these two meanings, one is the concept of space, which we understand as space, where there are no...
That's still a paramatabhava. When we talk about it as a concept, that yes, the open space,
right,
like in the cave or the sky,
right,
no elements.
Kunsuchin, this is that phrase I was trying to remember yesterday. Aditana Abhinivesa Anusya. This is from the Katyayana Gotta Sutta, where it says in English, this world is shackled by clinging, etc., but the one with right understanding does not become engaged and cling through that engagement and clinging, mental standpoint, adherence, underlying tendency, aditana abhinivesa anusya. So the one with understanding doesn't have that kind of clinging. He does not take a stand. And then the commentary says, craving and views are also called aditana, because they are the foundation for akusala, and abhinivesa anusya, the adherences and underlying tendencies, because they adhere to the mind with latent tendencies. And the commentary connects aditati to atta. This is from Pachayana Gotta. This is in Samyutta Nikaya. And the commentary says, craving and views are called aditana because they are the foundation for akusala, and abhinivesa anusya because they cling to the mind.
I know abhinivesa aditana, but as anusya. I think that it means that talking about clinging, it is also abhinivesa and is also anusya.
So here aditana means
just the foundation. But I don't know whether in Pali it is abhidana, because it's like clinging and upadana. But upadana is like very firm base.
And when I was asking on the first day about something under the section of vatu here, but it seems to be referring to the ayatollahs, this is the section I was meaning. It's difficult because it doesn't give the Pali. So here it is.
What to is physical basis, the six
vatu,
including Hadiya vatu.
Including
Hadiya. Five and Hadiya
vatu.
So
yes. Six. But here, when it talks about how does he define the mind internally, etc., is it not referring to the internal ayatanas and the external ayatanas?
How does he define the ear internally?
Yes.
And this is how they find the mind internally, because
yes,
it has to be Bhavangachitta as vatu.
Bhavangachitta as vatu, yes. But isn't it talking about the ayatanas, if it's talking about the Bhavangachitta rather than Hadaya vatu? Yes, this is what I thought, it's referring to chittas, because it gives mano here. So I thought it must be referring to the ayatanas, because it mentions mano, not Hadaya vatu. So it's under vatu, but I think it must be referring to like this last one. In the Pali it has mano hara sambhutoti babatati, mano upanoti babati. But it's referring to mano. So I think if it's referring to mano, it should be referring to
citta
as ayatanas. So I think it's referring to the internal and then external ayatanas. So that was why I asked about different meanings of vatu. Can vatu also be used as a term to refer to the inner ayatanas?
Because there are many meanings
of vatu. I came across in the Visuddhimagga as a meaning of vatu referring to the inner
when
ayatanas.
When we talk about rupa, vatu means hataya vatu.
But
here we don't talk about rupa, about ayatana. Because sometimes
yes,
when we talk about ayatana, the five rupas, that can be vatu. are taken as ayatana, but the mind cannot be rupa, because only five are what? Rupa.